The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of Spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
3, 2, 1.
Let's go. What's hot in the strip clubs? Your hosts, the 2016 and 2017 recipients of the Exotic Dancer Publications DJ of the Year Award, Danny Myers and Alon Fong.
Welcome to Behind the Curtain, a What's Hot in the Strip Clubs podcast on the Pantheon Podcast Network. I'm your host, Alon Fong, and we are on Behind the Curtain, as I mentioned. It's a show that we're trying to show non-strip club listeners what a legitimate business is that the strip club industry is, and the unique personalities we have in and around it. So today I have a fantastic DJ as a guest today. Let me tell you a little bit about him. We are proud to have DJ Mighty Mike Adachi on the show. This guy has done everything you can possibly imagine in the DJ industry. He started off in Hawaii, so hey, life is damn good because he started in Hawaii, right? He was the resident DJ at Zanzibar. He was the music consultant and head DJ for Cirque du Soleil Level 4. The musical director for the Sheraton Waikiki. He has DJed at Cheetah in Atlanta, Red Rock Casinos in Las Vegas, private events in Las Vegas. He is a Billboard remixer, an award-winning remixer, in fact. He has done remixes for Ariana Grande, The Weeknd, Taylor Swift, Demi Lovato. In fact, his remix of Demi Lovato's Give Your Heart a Break was the last number one Billboard record for Hollywood Records. And he's also a broadcast engineer for ESPN Cleveland. So he's very expansive in his career as well. So without further ado, I am very proud to welcome to the show, Mr. DJ Mike D. Welcome.
You know, you say it like that, and then all of a sudden, it seems like I'm actually someone of importance.
Done a lot of shit, man. Before we get to the interview, I want to share with how I met you. So DJ Mike D has been a remixer for a long time. And how I found out about him was, the song Motivation by Kelly Rowland was really popular about, 15 years ago? And the original track just didn't have enough BPMs or energy for me to play, and girls wanted it so bad. And finally, someone I saw somewhere, the DJ Mike D remix. I'm like, what is this? Let me listen to it. And sadly, back then, I was not a tech guy, so I was way behind. I didn't realize, being a strip club DJ, that there were these record pools and DJ services that would get you remixes. So I found stuff just by buying CDs and imports at like Tower Records or at, what's the one, the rich guy?
Sam Goody.
No, he owns the airline too. Virgin Records. We had a Virgin Records in Columbus and stuff like that. So I couldn't get this mix, which really frustrated me because I loved it. I heard it. I didn't know how to rip it yet. Hell, I was the last guy in the strip clubs, the UCDs probably. I didn't switch over to MP3s till 2014. It just proves to show you that it's not the platform, it's your curation and song choice. So I still had good songs. Anyways, Mike's making faces at me because I was so slow to change. Anyways, so I heard about Mike D and I was amazed. I loved his remixes, could never get them. Fast forward a couple years, I'm involved with Panda, the Professional Adult Nightclub DJ Association, and I'm on the board of directors. And I'm like, I'm going to track down this DJ Mike D guy. I'm going to get his remixes for everybody because strip club DJs love DJ Mike D. He takes slow ballads or hip hop songs you can't normally play, puts a great beat behind it, and you can play it anywhere, right? So Facebook, boom, find DJ Mike D, look him up. I reach out, and to my shock, I was on vacation in Hawaii. He responded within a day. So we started up a conversation and a friendship, and he eventually shared a big part of his library with the Panda DJs and through me and him, which was awesome. So, and I've gotten to know you much better as you moved to Cleveland, Ohio in recent years. So that's how I met DJ Mike D. Let's talk to you about some stuff. So you're in Cleveland, Ohio now. I understand you started your career, your first gig at 17, was at a strip club? So you're a Panda.
You know, it was one of those. It was what was the name of it? I think it was not. It wasn't. What was it called? Wild Horse. I think it was a hole in the wall, and they were like, "Hey, do you want to work here?" And I tried it out for I think maybe 2 days, and I was like, "I'm not chasing these girls around to get them on stage," and I was out. Like that. Full disclosure. I could not handle that aspect of your guys' job. Just no. I'm not trying to chase them around or deal with the drama or why aren't you on stage and all that kind of stuff. I had no idea that was a part of the job. And that was back in 2000, like 99, 2000.
Okay. So that's called, we call that herding cats is what we call it. And for non-strip club industry people, what he's talking about is it is notoriously difficult to get your dancers, entertainers to stage on time. They either want to sell dances, they're drunk, they don't want to go to stage, they're making money somewhere else. And so you're constantly chasing them down to try and get them to stage. So,
for whatever reason, it's the DJ's fault.
Right.
That's the part I didn't understand. Like if it was like, okay, well, I'm like the manager's going to go yell at them. That's cool. But it was like, why aren't they coming out? I don't know. You know?
So for non-strip club people, at the end of the day, the girls are the reason people come in the club. So It's never going to be their fault. We want to keep them happy and it's going to be blamed on the DJ. That's just the way it goes. All right. So you've told me things like DJing saved my life. Talk a little bit about how you got into becoming a DJ.
If we're going to get into how I became a DJ, it's actually through martial arts, believe it or not. So I took martial arts all as a kid, and I was in jiu-jitsu for like 10 years or something. And the adults decided they wanted to fundraise. I grew up in like Nanakuli, Hawaii, which is like the west side of Oahu, which is the side they tell tourists never go to. And you know, it's real country. It's a bit rough. You know what I mean? So, you know, it's not really for the people that talk like they have to come out there and say, what's going on with all you natives?
Not like that. Good way to get your ass kicked in Hawaii. Don't do it, people.
Yeah. we need to circle back to that actually too. Okay. So they wanted to fundraise, and long story short, we started throwing dances at the gym. And when I say it was like a community gym, it was like one of those where there's like 8 basketball courts indoors, one of those huge, huge gymnasiums. And like, you know, I swear like half that side of the island came out. There was nights where I swear we had like 4,000 people show up. That's to this awesome. Day. And, awesome. You know, like, but, you know, we're fundraising to go, to go to the finals in the mainland for, jiu-jitsu tournaments. Long story short, the one of the DJ companies we hired was like, hey, do you want to come work for us? I was just like helping them load stuff in.
Sure.
So I started working with them. And then from that, I had no idea how to DJ. It was a company called Mystical Sounds. And, we just started. All right. That's how I first got into it. And I saw that I really loved it. And back then it was still, 90% records and CDs. No, it wasn't even 90%. It was all records, still records and CDs.
Sure.
And did video mixing, which sometimes they would do. They would use Betamax tapes. You know? Like, because there was no DVD, there was no DVD DJ players back then. And Betamax had pitch control on it. And you couldn't use VHS because VHS was slow.
Right.
Keep in mind, like, I'm like 15 when all this is going on. So I don't know. You know what I mean? This is just what I remember. So that's how I got into it. And then due to, certain issues at home, I was out of the house right after graduation.
Okay.
And I was essentially home. I stayed at a couple friends' houses for a while. I did full on. I took care of this lady's like net $8,000 a month business for a room for rent doing landscaping. And let me tell you, like anytime a DJ complains, I shut up because it's like I did like full on landscaping in Hawaii where centipedes are like a good, 8, 9, 12 inches long in Hawaii.
Jesus. They're big.
You guys want to Google something scary, Google Hawaiian centipede. I would come across. You know, I was climbing coconut trees, trimming them and shit for a room.
Wow.
So it was kind of like, anyway.
So DJing changed your life. It saved your life, you could say.
I mean, yeah. I'm sorry. I'm ranting, but yeah, it did change my life. It's how they say, last night a DJ saved my life. No. DJing actually saved my life.
That's cool.
Because it allowed me to, put food on the table and take care of myself and make money. I mean,
yeah.
Hawaii is an expensive place.
So let me ask you, let me go backtrack a little bit more. What artist started your love for music? Was there someone who just said, you know, it clicked for you like, oh, I want to do music? Was there an artist that really sparked your fire?
You know, as a kid, I wasn't ever allowed to listen to popular music. Okay. It was like taboo. My dad listened to nothing but like oldies. And then he listened to like Coast to Coast. You remember Art Bell? Remember that guy?
Yeah. Coast to Coast. Now, what do you mean by oldies? So that's like, you mean like Glenn Miller and like Dean Martin and Frank Sinatra?
No, oldies more like Beatles, all the time Beatles.
Love the Beatles.
I hate the Beatles.
Well, oh my God, Mike D. You and I are going to fight. I'll do stand up though. I'm not much. I know a little jiu-jitsu. I'm more of a striker. Anyway.
And then my mom liked nothing but like my mom. It's weird. My mom's originally from Youngstown, but like her,
what?
She is. She's from Youngstown. Like I went and visited their old house.
That's cool.
When they grew up, but she really, really, really loves Hawaiian music. And you know what? She also likes the Beach Boys. So that was like a weird. You know, like they say, either you like the Beatles or the Beach Boys.
Yeah.
So I don't know why my parents got together. And the thing is, like, right around when I was coming of age, like, fifth, sixth grade.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth, fifth grade. Okay. That's when Dr. Dre, The Chronics dropped.
Yes.
So, you know, I remember hearing it and thinking, holy shit, what is this? You know, like,
yeah,
like Dre Day, nothing but a G thing. And then, like, you know, you would sneak watching MTV at that age. And TLC Creep would come on. And then.
Early 90s. So hip hop was your what really
it really was.
Okay.
And I did like some of the house stuff, but not all of it because I don't know, there was something about it at the time that just sounded a little corny to me. Like I'll probably get murdered for this, but Crystal Waters, or was it Crystal Waters, Gypsy Woman?
Is she
the one? Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. Gypsy Woman. Oh my God, I hate the sound of that record. I hate it.
I'm not a big fan of that one either.
But I mean, you know what I mean? That was also, you know, what came out at the time.
Very cool.
As far as music, I would say, you know, Bone Thugs and, oh my God, that was actually the first concert I went to, was Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Okay.
They came to Hawaii, and it's funny because I'm in Cleveland, right? Came to Hawaii. No shit.
Indirectly.
I remember vividly, Busy Bone comes out. What the fuck's up, Hawaii? I was like, and everyone screamed, and I thought it was ridiculous. Like he just he like swore at y'all.
he just cussed you out.
I'm fourth grade. I'm like 9 years old, and
No man. And what do you think of that funny smell that was emanating from the stage?
I just figured.
Did you know the skunks were in Hawaii? I thought they were mainland only.
I was just kind of sheltered as a kid. It was very much in my house. Like you went to school and you came home, and if you had like sports. Or, you know, like I played baseball, I did golf. I was, you know, I did tons of martial arts, but it wasn't always like I was out of the whole, you know, staying away from bad stuff.
Look, man, first of all, so full disclosure for the audience, we are both half Asian. He's half Japanese, I'm half Chinese. So I can totally relate to everything you just said.
It's like you go to work or you go to school and you come home and you do your your old parents, that whole thing, like talking back. Woo!
No, you don't do that. No,
yeah,
I agree. I agree.
Like, you know, my mom like would get the yardstick. That was the sound of clanking of the wood.
Yeah,
you know, because she sewed a lot. But so she yardsticks. But that sound of the wood on the wood. Ooh,
yeah, I get it. Clack, clack, clack.
Yeah, and it was always like, you know, my mom would be the one to like, I don't want to say whoop my ass. You know what I mean? Because
for a kid, it doesn't matter. It's still about. It's the fear. It's a little bit of the dishonor. Oh no, you upset your parents. You failed them, or you dishonored them. Blah blah blah. I get it.
It was always like my mom was the one to discipline, but it was like, don't make me get your father. I was
right.
Like,
that was the big threat. I get it.
But
hey, were there any DJ mentors or anyone that like you looked up to, or when did DJing become not just music, but when did DJing? I know you said that company, but was there a big time DJ that really also spoke to you?
So when I was in eighth grade. Mm-hmm. I remember listening to the local radio station at the time, and the station's still around. They just changed the name of it. Mm-hmm. It was called I-94, and they had tons of mix shows. And that was my first exposure to the, you know, like DJing.
Yeah.
Because I would listen. I would be like, one, where are these versions coming from? Two, how are they getting them to mix together? you know, because back then, what was it? It was like there was Wicked Mix, Ultimix, there was the Cameron Paul series, there was Hot Tracks. You know, there was a couple like mix show, mix services, and like now everything is just like an intro and an out, you know, intro song and an outro. Whereas before, they would like have like little cool bits and like scratching in the, you know, the type of thing. And I was just like, I had no idea where these versions came from. And I still, you know, I didn't know anything. So I'd be out there with my little, tape and like record my fourth, I think I owned, and like, you know, trying to like record stuff off the radio. And then like, I could choose two tapes, right? So then I would play one and then catch the part. I would like, say I wanted to go, buh, 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 like, you know, repeat the song. Yeah. I would like cue it up and then like hit record and then stop it and then go back and then hit record and stop. And, yeah, so in Hawaii, there was a couple of the names were like James Coles. He was the big one. There was also Cutmaster Spaz. There was K Smooth. all these guys in Hawaii, just, you know, like as far as DJing goes, they were like the ones, you know.
Yeah, I get it. Was there I lost my train of thought. Oh,
sorry.
So was there well, explain to people for non-DJs, what are mixed shows versus like a normal show for the average, for the layman?
So back in the days when radio was relevant, no, I'm just playing.
Not really, but okay.
So, yeah. So, like, when you listen to the radio and just a song plays, that's just whatever. So a mix show was like listening to a DJ live, but on the radio. That's essentially what it was.
Seamless, right? So songs didn't end. It just kept going.
Yeah, they didn't end. Song. It's like if you went to the club and you took the how the DJ's playing in the club and put it in a radio format, I guess would be the best way to put it.
Got it.
Yeah.
All right. No, cool. I just want to make sure we explained it to non-DJs because we assume people know, but you know, oftentimes they don't. So you're playing out live, you're growing as a DJ. So what made you become what drove you to become a producer? Like, how did that shift?
You know, I actually started doing that before I started DJing.
Oh, okay.
So, we didn't grow up with a whole lot of money, but one thing we did have was a computer. And with that computer, were two pieces of software that I have no idea how my dad got them or whatever. I'm probably what were they called? News group sites back in the day.
Okay. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Before torrents. I had a copy of this program called MultiQuince and Cool Edit 96.
Wow.
Yeah.
I haven't heard of those.
And you know what, from there, that's actually how I learned how DJing actually works. And you know, here comes a joke, you know, being Asian, you would think I'm good at math. No, I'm fucking terrible at math. Like that, those genes didn't come over, you know.
See, behind the curtain, breaking stereotypes just for you people.
So the you know, the so I figured this out. So beats per minute, right? What is beats per minute? That's beats over time, right?
Sure.
Right. If you take, so say this one song, okay?
BPM, by the way. BPM is beats per minute.
I'm sorry, BPM, beats per minute, okay? Yeah. So that's amount of beats over time.
Sure.
So I figured if you take, like, say I select this amount in Cool Edit. I mean, Cool Edit is a type of a DAW, which is a digital audio workstation. And what that does is it allows you to manipulate audio on the computer. Like, you hear kids talk about Ableton and Logic, same thing now.
Yes.
So I took... I would highlight, say, like 8 beats in the DAW, right? In Cool Edit. And I would say, like, okay, so this is like, you know, this is 8 beats and it's like, say, 10 point whatever seconds. So I took that and I divided it. And then I took another one, like another song, and then say, it's okay, here's another 8 beats. And instead of it's 10.7, whatever, blah, 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 blah. So then I have 10.2 or whatever I said, and then 10.7. And then if I divide one by the other, you come up with a new decimal number. And if you move the decimal point over two, and if you move the decimal over two numbers, that's the amount of percentage you need to speed or slow down one to equal the other. And that's
very cool. Wow. Look at you. Who said you weren't good at math? You did some shit there, man. So who are your DJ producer heroes? Did you have anybody you looked up to who you thought, oh, that's who I kind of want to model myself after at first?
You know, I wasn't even thinking like that. Okay. I can tell you who now, who like the ultimate is. Honestly, it's Max Martin. And for anyone that doesn't know Max Martin, I guarantee you know Max Martin. Max Martin is behind everyone from Britney Spears and NSYNC to now Ariana Grande, the week like
And yep, everybody.
Yeah, he's Katy Perry, Kesha.
Kesha, there's some trouble. We won't talk about the Kesha thing, but
well, that wasn't him though. That was
I'm just making a joke.
That was what's his name? but yeah, he's probably the biggest pop producer, just hands down. He's like
without a doubt in the last 30 years. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
What is your goal when you go into a remix? What now? And it does it differentiate when you're doing a bootleg versus doing an official? I assume with an official
100%.
Remix, you obviously have to please the artist. They have to sign off on things and they may have notes versus you're going to be more your style in a bootleg, right?
So when something's official, there's a goal. And what that goal is determines how I approach it.
Okay.
When it's bootleg, it's whatever I think sounds best.
Got it.
Like, how do I want it to sound? That's where that comes in. But yeah, there's a lot of times where people have approached me for official remixes. I've actually turned some down, and I have some stuff that like I've never released. Like I got vocals I've never like put out from people just because either the project got killed or some artist didn't want to sign off on it or whatever. But yeah, it's like the simple answer is official stuff. There's a goal in mind, and you know, adhering to the goal, that's how I approach it.
Right.
And unofficial, I'm just doing what I want.
And so let me explain. I do some music promotion, as you know, and so for the audience, you know, sometimes the goal is for a remixer, they just want a specific remixer to do a specific style of dance music to fit in a certain type of club or to get a certain type of audience that maybe the original track can't get to. So they want a house remix, they want a hip-hop type remix, they whatever. And you know, Mike D can do it all, by the way. His remixes cover every genre that I've ever heard. So
I've never done polka.
Really? I'm sort of surprised with your background. what is your preferred production platform right now?
I'll default to Ableton
I love Ableton. Yeah.
I really liked Acid, but Acid has its limitations, and I did have to make the switch back in like 2000 and I think 13, something like that. The routing just isn't there. Some of the way the plugins don't work. But I will say, because the other thing was, I worked for Cox Radio for like 8-9 years. I did production. Now, when you talk about production in a radio station, production is like commercials, and I also did imaging, and imaging is everything like, you know, the new Power 104.0 playing, blah, 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 all that shit. That's what imaging is. And then commercial, and then production is commercial. So I did imaging and production. And what takes like two clicks in Acid takes three in Ableton, takes like six in Reason, and then takes like fucking 12 in Pro Tools.
Okay. So those are all production programs, by the way, for anyone who doesn't know that. He just named some different production programs.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, a lot of people will say Pro Tools is the industry standard. And I highly believe Pro Tools is the industry standard to this day, because it's made for people that get paid hourly, because it just takes you long.
I see. And I think that, at least from my experience, most DJs I know, producers use Ableton. I think
Ableton
engineering Live type, like rock, you know, rock people and real studio recording, like live instrumentation, use Pro Tools more, from my experience. But I know some guys who DJ, you know, with it too. But so here's to show you the power of a remix. Here's a little story. I don't know if you know. I just found this on the interwebs. But apparently, Mr. Nick Jonas, you did a remix of Chains.
Yep.
And he performed the DJ Mike D and Adachi remix version of the song on the 2015 Kids Choice Awards.
So I can tell you how that worked out.
Okay. So you did know. Okay, cool.
The label called me up and they're like, hey, Nick Jonas is going to do the Kids Choice Awards and we want to have him do Chains. And the thing was, he was performing the night before somewhere else.
He did it sounds like, too, right? With your version? Did you do your version on The Voice as well?
I don't know.
Okay. It says it might have. Go ahead. Continue your story.
Yeah, so whatever it was the night before, it might have been The Voice, it might have been something else, but he performed it the night before. And they didn't want him to do the same version back to back. That was the big thing.
Okay.
So they hit me up and their Republic hit me. I think they were Universal at the time. Hit me up and they're like, hey, Nick Jonas is going to do this, blah, 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 blah. We want, you know, because it's for the, you know, Kids Choice Awards. Can you make it like, you know, that was the goal. Like, can you make it house? Can you make it upbeat? Sure, no problem. And the person, the other person on it, C-H-A-D-A-C-H-I.
Oh, that's okay. That's what it was. Okay.
I don't even know how to pronounce it, but that's my brother.
I was going to say, because it's your last name.
Yeah. I say Chedachi or whatever. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. His name's Chris. I was staying with him in I just happened to be in LA at the time, hanging out with him, for no particular reason. I forgot why I was there. I don't remember why I was there.
Okay.
But
no worries.
It was one of those, like, here's the crazy thing. You say I'm good at this. My brother is literally getting his doctorate in music theory and composition.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. He's a teacher out in LA. Him and his wife, like, his wife teaches private piano lessons. I'm going to be honest. I'm probably going to take piano lessons from my sister-in-law because she's that good at it.
Awesome.
They can play, you know, they can play just about any fucking instrument. It's wild. I have
to hit you up for that.
No, seriously. They're very good at what they do.
Okay.
It's just that pop music isn't his thing. It's just not.
Sure. I get it.
I've really tried to work with him sometimes, and it's just one of those, like, I'm not going to force something if it's not
bored, probably.
Yeah, it's not passion for it. It's not passion about. He loves jazz. He loves, like, really, you know, he loves orchestrated, like, he likes composing.
More complex. Yeah, I get it.
I'm going beep boop on stuff, you know.
Real quick to tie a bow around that story, it says here performed it. No, you're fine. The Kids Choice Awards in 2015, as well as the second iHeartRadio Music Awards. So that's what the other night was.
Oh, can you send me that? I didn't even know that.
It was in Wikipedia. I Googled you wikied you, and it gave me a link to this. So,
oh, that's weird. Yeah. I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I just happened to be with him, and I had him transcribe, you know what I mean? Like, decipher what notes were what, and that's why I put his name on it.
Very cool. All right, let me take a break right here. Guys, we'll be back with more with DJ Mike D right after this.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here, taking a break from listening to a little Shouted Out Loudcast episode. Love Tom and Zeus talking all things Kiss. Of course, I was listening to them on my new Raycon wireless earbuds. They have quickly become my go-to earbuds because of the comfort. These soft tips are the best I've ever used. And at this price, plus a Pantheon discount, Raycon is really hitting on all marks. Sound quality is great too. I really love having these three EQ options because I like more bass in the music, but less in my podcast. 8 hours of playtime for the battery is great as well. Surround sound, noise isolating, and awareness mode are all included. These are great earbuds. Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order plus free shipping. That's right, you'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon. Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant-quality meals. Well, they got the shipment to Protein Plus meal plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
We're back with DJ Mike D on Behind the Curtain, a Pantheon Podcast Network show. You can find us on www.whatshotitsc.com and on all major podcast streaming platforms. Welcome back, Mike. Let's dive a little deeper. Let's go a little bit into the future, maybe. What artists would be your dream artist to do an official remix for or to collaborate with?
Oh, that's a good one. You know, this is going to sound really, really, really weird, but I would really like to work with Jewel.
Wow. Did not see that coming.
I love Jewel. Believe it or not, like when I'm working, it's so funny. My Spotify last year, I was like her, like, you know how it says like top fans or whatever?
Yeah.
I was in like the top like 0.5% of like Jewel. That's
crazy. She is hot too. I mean, let's be honest.
You know what?
And talented.
Like, She's also a tough ass chick, dude. Like, you know who her family is, right?
Alaskan. I know she was like roughing it in Alaska, for God's sakes.
Her family is that the Kilchers on that not Life Below Zero, but on the homesteading show on Discovery Channel.
No shit, I had no idea. Yeah. I did not know that.
She sings the intro with her dad.
Wow, that's really cool. I did not know that about Jewel. And look at you, and you're on the opposite end of the world from tough-ass Hawaii. Look, I know a lot of people don't understand. They see Hawaii the paradise, but man, that is a tough-ass culture. Let me just say that. I my sister lives in Maui now, and I've been there a bunch and just heard stories from talking to people about the surf culture and then the other side, the Polynesians. So yeah, man, you know, it's different environments, but similar.
You know, I'll be honest, moving to the Midwest, I think the weirdest thing for me that I didn't expect was how people – are adults and they still like to bully people. That's weird.
Yeah, that's weird. I know, it's
like,
funny.
Like it's and the thing is, like, there's actually parts of like there's parts of Northeast Ohio where it's really bad, but it's like they've never been around anyone that would slap them in the face.
Right. Well, everyone goes to guns nowadays. There is no
that's true, but I'm talking about the people that have like never been in any sort of like
I get it. Like your soccer mom, dad.
Yeah, exactly. And I always make the joke, like, I'd like to move a family of like 20 Samoans out to, like, you know, Cleveland, go around and play. So
that's great. All right, Mike, what is your favorite strip club, if you have one?
My favorite, you know, honestly, I've only been to like maybe 6 or 7 in my life.
Okay.
That's fine. In Hawaii, my favorite was 939, and that's because we did industry night there.
Okay.
And, you know, it's a nice club. And then, you know, I have to say Cheetah's. Like,
yeah.
Cheetah's
in Atlanta. He's talking about Cheetah in Atlanta.
It's a fucking nice club. Like,
yeah.
Like, they probably, I don't even want to even guess how much money they spend in there. It's
I'm sure it's in the millions on the light show.
Just in the lights. It's insane. And then the speakers are a whole different animal.
Have you been to 11 yet? You know, they based a lot of their stuff on 11. They worked with the same people who designed 11.
Yes, I did know that they based did that. I have not been to 11 yet. In fact, dude. I've only been in Miami once.
Really? That's surprising.
Oh, yeah. That's a funny story, too. You know DJ Q, right? The one who,
yep.
KU, he does remixes.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Not personally, but yeah.
We were out there for a Winter Music Conference.
Yep.
And because the hotels were just stupid, he's like, oh, yeah, just like bunk with me. we ended up like sharing a bed together. You know,
hey now.
And, well, it was funny because
it's an Asian thing. Don't worry about it, people. It's nothing.
It's not like that. Get out of here.
For making stuff up.
Well, it was, you know, it was one of those beds where like we put like the pillows in the middle to divide it, whatever. And then I'm waking up and his like hand was on me. I was like, yo. Like, sorry, man, forced to have it with my wife. I was like, yeah.
Oh, that's a good story. We're going off the rails here. What differences did you find now? Because you've DJed at Cheetah in Atlanta recently. And, you know, it had been since your first gig, probably since you've been back DJing a strip club. What differences, what are the major differences for our audience who aren't DJs? Would you kind of explain between being a strip club DJ and being a club DJ? Obviously, you're on the mic as an MC a lot more. I don't know if you are at Cheetah anymore. They don't really talk in the mics anymore, do they?
You know, I'll only like pop in here and there. Like, I do know that some of the other guys there, you know, they tend to do be more, I don't want to say traditional, but they tend to be more the M, you know, they work the MC role a lot more.
Sure.
And I will say the biggest difference between, because I just played at Emperor's in Tampa as well.
Okay.
And I will say the biggest difference is now people want more of a nightclub atmosphere with adult entertainment versus just pure adult entertainment.
Yeah.
You know, I can't speak for all gentlemen's clubs. Like, I know some, it's like very like, you know, this
traditional
is what you're
strip club.
For. Yeah. But as far as the trendy and hip, I guess you would say.
I was going to say, so for our listeners, so there's definitely been a trend. 11 Miami was one of the first to do sort of a club DJ atmosphere, music, and then a lot more showmanship, maybe whether it's aerial artists or, you know, obviously pole dancing has taken off to another level, even in the mainstream. So a lot of your top end adult gentlemen's clubs, the classy, the so-called classy, quote unquote, classy ones are leaning more in that direction. Let's see here, Mike. Let's have a little fun. You ready to have some fun and do some 10 questions with me?
Uh-oh. Okay.
All right. This is it. All right. So these are my questions made famous by Bernard Pivot and James Lipton on Inside the Actor Studio. So whatever first thing comes to your mind, there's 10 questions for you. You ready?
Yep.
All right. What is your favorite word?
Why would you do that? Why would you do that? I now I have nothing but penis in my head.
All right. Penis it is.
No, it's not.
No? Okay.
My favorite word? I don't know. Fuck. Probably fuck, because I say fuck all the time.
Okay, we'll get to that one. What is your least favorite word?
Broke.
Broke. There you go. What turns you on creatively, spiritually, or emotionally?
Time by myself where I'm actually in the moment with myself.
All right. All right. What turns you off, Mike D?
Fucking 10 questions, I'll tell you that. You know, honestly, it's when I can't get out of a situation that I didn't want to be in to begin with.
Okay. Here, we kind of answered this one. What is your favorite curse word?
Yeah, fuck.
Say it with passion.
Fuck. God
damn it. There we go. There we go. What sound or noise do you love?
The sound of birds.
Oh, I thought you were going to say a good 808.
I love the sound. I love the sound birds make, because they sing their own. Each bird has its own unique song, and there's just something freeing about that.
I'll tell you. So my first trip to Hawaii was on the Big Island. So we were near Kona, right? And we were at a resort. But my son was 8, 9, 10. So we're sharing a room and a bed. You know what I mean? And I remember at 6 a.m., 5 a.m., it was the coolest thing. And I actually have birds now is my wake up thing, but like one bird started singing and chirping, then another,
yep.
Then another, and they were so loud. And before you know it, it was literally like a symphony of birds. It was, we both woke up with this big, because it was so beautiful. It was amazing. And it was like a symphony of birds. It was so cool. So I totally get on it, especially being from Hawaii. What sound or noise do you hate?
The sound of like your car fucking up.
Okay.
When you grow up poor and your car sucks, and when I'm sorry, not even growing up poor, when you're like, because my parents could fix cars, when you're like homeless and you don't know what the hell's wrong with your car,
wow.
Timing belt goes, or it's just like, blah, 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 blah. Like there's just that initial fear of hope, this initial feeling of hopelessness, like, fuck, I got to deal with this car.
Yeah, that's dramatic, man. That's heavy. I like that. What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
You know, when I was younger, I always wanted to be a fighter pilot. I was in ROTC and all that kind of stuff.
Nice.
But then come to find out, you can't be a fighter pilot if you wear glasses. So that.
Ah, bummer.
Yeah.
He's got glasses, folks. What profession would you not like to do?
I don't ever want to do landscaping again. I have
perfect sense.
Like, and you know what? That's actually probably a reason why I hate dealing with like having a lawn. I hate it. Just. I'm over it, you know.
Having a lawn, what's the matter with having me? I apologize. Okay. The final question. Are you ready? This is the big one. If heaven exists, Mike D, what musician or artist would you most like to jam with who's in heaven?
Johnny Cash.
And
honestly, it would be more so just to, it wouldn't even, I don't know if we'll know, I don't know I'd want to jam with him. I would just like to talk to him, I guess.
I love it. Well, that's it for the 10 questions. Are there any tour dates or releases you got coming out you'd like to talk about? Your website, your social media, so people can get a hold of you?
Just DJ MIKED is how you find me. Website or Instagram or, you know, Facebook, whatever. Twitter. Even TikTok, but I don't go on TikTok. TikTok's for kids. yeah, I mean, it is. It is. It's like, I can't do it. I tried.
I get it. Any tour dates or shows coming up you want to promote, plug?
February 3rd and March 11th, I'm at Cheetah's in Atlanta, working on schedule for this coming month. I'm actually going to be back in Hawaii the 8th through 15th, so that's going to be interesting.
March or February?
I'm sorry, February. That's going to be interesting for people to see me.
Nice.
I haven't been home in like 9 years, so.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that, yeah, I think I met you and you were moving out and leaving.
Yep.
Yep. Because I was trying to hook up with him and he's like, nah, I'm actually moving.
Yeah.
I'm like, damn it. How can people get your remixes? Is it your website? Like, how does that work?
Yeah. I do, you know, I will put out most things through record pools. Okay. And, you know, but I also do a lot of exclusive stuff through my Patreon. I figure that's, you know, that's the easiest platform. I don't got to really do anything other than publish. Well, do it and then publish. So that's patreon.com/DJ Mike D.
All right. And your website?
DJMikeD.com, which is under development. So it looks kind of just like a one. It's like a link jump right
now.
And
if people want to book the amazing live version of DJ Mike D, how do they go about that?
There's links on my site or on my Instagram.
Okay.
Or just ask you. That's probably the easier way.
I will hook you up with DJ Mike D, y'all. Well, hey, man, you are an honorary panda. Like I said, your remixes have changed and made stuff playable that wasn't playable in strip clubs. So I can speak for all the pandas. You're in the panda group now. You know the love you get every time you post on there or whatever. So you are definitely a panda, brother. And this was a lot of fun. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you. Appreciate
it, man. All right. That was DJ Mike D. You're listening to Behind the Curtain, a What's Hot in the Strip Club podcast on the Pantheon Podcast Network. Find us on all major streaming platforms and at www.whatshotitsc.com. I'm Elon Fong. Peace out. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to What's Hot in the Strip Clubs with Danny Myers and Elon Fong. Presented by Panda and Strip Joints Music. You can find us on all major podcast platforms. Thanks for listening.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Frenino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.